This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
Turn on, tune in, stay in or go out.
This is The Social.
On Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Fantastic to have Anne-Marie McQueen in the studio. She's the editor at livehealthy.ae. And you've been injured recently.
I had a freak yoga accident.
I wonder, are yoga accidents that freakish? I feel like they do happen.
Yeah, they do happen. And when you Google, and it's the kind of thing I never paid attention to because I thought it's not going to happen to me. I do yoga all the time. I'm a pro, but I dislocated both of my shoulders.
Oh,
I know. I don't.
It makes me hug myself.
I'm getting a lot of that.
And get chills and feel slightly sick at the same time.
Yeah, that's exactly what me saying that to everyone does. So I was doing a simple pose, I think, called puppy pose. And they both just,
Anne-Marie, just goes to show, it's not a gentle exercise all the time,
no.
Folks. It's not just breathing.
You have to be really careful and you have to listen to your own body. I did a class the day before with a really long shoulder pose, a yin class, which seems, you know, yin we've talked about,
we love yin.
But I remember looking around the class and thinking, this is absolutely killing me. It was sort of a leaning on your elbows thing. And I just, instead of not doing it, I persisted because I thought,
I should
because it's everyone else can do it. And since I've had this injury, I've had x-rays and I've had an orthopedic surgeon tell me your shoulders aren't built for sort of handstands and some of these moves. You have, they're just sort of deformed. And so I think listening to your body, when I was sitting there in agony the day before doing like a 5-minute pose and just persisting, I would have thought that wouldn't have happened to me. But I feel like that had something to do with it.
So go forth and pose with caution, people.
Pose with caution, yes.
And I think that speaks to a really good point of not feeling pressured to do things that you're not comfortable doing, or your body's not comfortable doing. And, you know, we always say in yoga, stay on your mat, you know, don't worry what other people are doing. But it's true. Everyone is different. Everybody is different.
And paying attention to yourself, because my mind was wandering that day all over the place. I had a million things to do. And if I had been paying more attention, I think that I would have thought, this is a little bit too soon for this exercise we're doing, and my body doesn't feel great. So.
Now, I don't rub salt in the wounds, but not only have you dislocated your shoulders, you've also got an official diagnosis of dead glutes.
I do. I'm a mess.
What on earth are dead glutes?
Well, actually, almost everyone has dead glutes, I think. It's just, there's
don't
a different...
Don't cast aspersions about my derriere, Anne-Marie.
I don't know.
McQueen.
I got to come over there and give you a poke. Before I was
promises,
injured...
Promises, promises.
I was doing these mini trampoline classes, and my teacher would come over and just be like, squeeze your bum and poke. And of course I do it right before she comes over, but before I'm just, exercising. Mm-hmm. Same as when they always say tighten your abs. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm there, I'm working out, I'm sweating, that's enough. But I think it's called dead butt syndrome, gluteal amnesia. It's extremely common. I talked to one trainer, he's a specialist in sort of functional movement, and he said 90% of the people that come to him to have have injuries fixed have this sort of dead butt syndrome.
So it's not engaging the largest muscles in our body.
And it probably starts with all the sitting everyone's doing. But then it's also, in a way, it's easier to work out not engaging your glutes. There are three massive muscles, the biggest in your body. And when you don't do that, other muscles that are less equipped take over. So if you're having knee pain, lower back pain, it's all hip pain. This is all probably, it runs up and down the body, the impact of it. So what you're seeing in a lot of fitness classes lately are activation. You're hearing that word a lot. And that is because these muscles aren't activated, they're activating them for you. So it's a little reminder before you do the class. There's a new gym called Bodyism in Abu Dhabi at Jumeirah at Saadiyat Island. It's a luxury gym out of London. It's the first one in the UAE. And they have a beautiful class where you start out foam rolling, which is one
painful,
but really necessary if you have this issue. And then before we even started working out, we had the bands around our thighs doing squats and sidesteps and other movements you can do are like bridges, but engaging your glutes all the time. And then, slowly you can sort of start to rectify this problem. But it's something that everyone needs to pay attention to. Even if you're not having pain, trainers say you're not getting as good of a workout. You're not burning as many calories as you could. There's just with these weak muscles, there's just all sorts of reasons.
Do you think
to pay
people
attention.
Across Dubai are now clenching, Anne-Marie? Wherever you are, clench away.
Clench, but clench persistently. Clench over the long term.
Clench with intention.
Clench with intention. Yeah.
How would you describe the website, Anne-Marie?
It's everything that is involved in being healthy mind, body, and soul. So everything from eco-travel to all sustainability issues to fitness, it sort of brings what's going on in the country together, I think. The newest classes, restaurants, dishes, but mostly it's just local. It's nice talking to people from here, you know, rather than reading about stuff that's over there.
And yeah, studies, you know, from elsewhere in the world, see how they apply here. Yeah. It is, of course, Autism Awareness Month. We marked it earlier with the guys from Autism Rocks and Dr. David Lee from Health Bay Polyclinic. And you have a fantastic article on there that I really urge anyone who wants to learn more about autism to go and check out. Some really interesting points about, we talk a lot about diagnosis, about what we should be looking for, ages, and as Adam Griffin, the occupational therapist, would say to you, if you've met one person with autism, then you've met one person with autism. You know, it's not a cookie cutter condition by any means. But what you're speaking about in this piece over on Live Healthy is about after that diagnosis, what happens?
Right. And it's a time when you need to gather your thoughts, but you also need to spring into action. So parents who've been there told us, let yourself grieve. Let yourself take a moment and grieve. Don't blame yourself, because there is a lot of stuff out there, and there are, you know, a lot of articles about the things that you could have done differently that maybe this wouldn't happen. But the rates are skyrocketing, as we know. So it's not a time for blaming yourself. And a lot of parents feel relieved. So let yourself feel that, too. You know?
Absolutely.
Finding out.
And labeling something can be detrimental in some situations. But for many people, it can be really empowering, because then you can find people who are in a similar situation. You can start looking for resources, start looking at treatments, and find out what's going to fit your family.
And what is happening here is a network of parents who've gone through this, who have set up, you know, there's just so many different groups, and you can go to them and they're so happy to help you and impart the latest information and point you in the right direction. You can also, it's time to spring into action for what you can do right now, because the earlier the better for interventions in terms of medicine and behavioral modifications and even, you know, supplementation and vitamins, because there's, it's controversial, but some of these symptoms and behaviors can be improved with a regimen of vitamins and supplements and, you know, fixing the gut health connection and improving immunity. It's possible. So that is available here. One of the doctors on our board, Dr. Naz Al-Jafari, works at DNA Health. He said under three is best, but there's improvements that have been seen in kids that are older. So those are all things to look out for. Schooling is a big one. And as we know, any special needs children, parents struggle really hard to get their kids in school. Legislation's coming towards making that happen in 2020. It hasn't happened yet. But I think, again, this is where parents can help. You can go to other parents and they can help guide you to.
Because often it is that peer-to-peer recommendation that is the most informative and powerful.
This principle, you know, because it is school by school kind of thing this point. And extracurriculars as well are just as difficult to get your kids in. So just going to other parents. And I thought it was really cool in the article that Jennifer Bell wrote was, be proud, you know, that comes with time, but be proud right now of the kids that you have.
It's interesting you said there about grieving, and that's not necessarily a negative thing. And I would say that of anyone who's come through an experience or through a learning. And that I've even had this of people who are leaving Dubai and have gone to seek counselling to try and get their heads around it. And not a lot of that can be, you need to grieve. And that's and it sounds like a negative thing, and it's not. It's acknowledging where you are. It's acknowledging perhaps what you'd hoped for, that might not be the case for you. And that's okay. It's about letting go of expectations.
This, veering away from autism, but I feel like in my own life and in everyone's lives, if you can let yourself grieve something that just didn't turn out the way you thought it did, you'll be so much more emotionally healthy when you let it happen. But so many people are scared of bad emotions, just feeling like sad. You know, my experience is if you feel it, it will pass through you. It will take longer. I read somewhere that it's like giant waves crashing into you, and then, you know, they come slower and they come slower. If you let yourself through that process, it will be healthier for you and everyone around you.
You're absolutely right. We've spoken with Dr. Thorey about this in the past, how quick we are to distract ourselves. And that could be picking up a phone and looking through social media. It could be shopping. It could be food. It could be anything to stop ourselves from feeling the feelings. And it's it's the easy thing to do, and I think we're probably all guilty of it to an extent, but it doesn't actually kind of serve us in the long term at all.
If I could say that to anyone who's struggling, that's the key thing. You know how many times you hear, you know, because we have this sort of false cheerfulness that you need to have, right? And it's
very surface. I'm upbeat and everything's great.
Yeah, but I mean, life, I feel, is just a series of waves. It's up and it's down, and you nothing's ever sorted. There isn't a happily ever after. You know this from having kids. Like, you don't sort it out and all of a sudden it's easy. It's really tough. But if you just let yourself feel that way and let yourself go through what you're going through, what they say is if you don't, it comes back in other ways. And you see this in workplaces and, you know, friendships and relationships.
And speaking of that parenting part, I've got so many friends who didn't have the birth that they'd wanted to have and have been full of regret, have struggled with parenting as a consequence of that in part. And grieving for the birth that you wanted to have is a really important thing to acknowledge and say that didn't work out, but, and I'm sad about it.
Yes.
But this is where we are, and not minimizing those feelings is really crucial.
People really want to be like strong and show this veneer, but I think with the rise of people like Brené Brown, and it's becoming, you know, okay to be vulnerable and to say that was really hard, and I wasn't always okay about it. You know, something for me is I haven't gotten married and I haven't had kids, and so for years I'd be like, oh, I'm better off, I don't want to have all this. Well, you know, at some point in my early 40s, I got really sad about it, and it was fine. And I think I started saying to people, yeah, I would have liked to have had kids, but it didn't work out. And I just felt so much more honest saying that. And no one was a jerk to me, like, you know.
But I think it's really brave to show vulnerability. And I think that's something that social media is a real positive, because
yes,
you do have people who are saying it's OK to not be OK. And I don't mind being the first one to say that I struggled with this issue. And even if that doesn't inspire other people to speak up, if someone reads that and connects with it and goes, okay, I'm not alone in this,
it's
then
so
that's
comforting.
So important.
It's so comforting. And I'm sure people who watch your social media, you know, maybe they felt bad because they saw a magazine editor walking with their children in like perfect outfits, and your kids are always really cute, but then they come to you saying today was a really tough day.
And, yeah, or a really tough night.
Yeah,
or,
you know. Exactly. So it's comforting, and it's one of the great things that social media has for us now.
Mm. We've got Anne-Marie McQueen here from livehealthy.ae. Some great articles over there on the website. And something I think really pertinent with Ramadan around the corner, fantastic article for people to get their heads around and their bodies ready for the holy month. Can you give us a couple of the highlights there, Anne-Marie?
Well, there's months in the month, or there's days leading up to Ramadan where people are fasting already. Muslims are fasting, and they do that sometimes to make up for it, and people do it to prepare. It's that mentality. Hala Khalaf wrote an article for us. She's a great journalist. She always reminds me of you. She was talking about this tendency to like gorge and eat all this stuff, and all it does is hurt you. So tapering, like her recommendation, stop snacking. Just start having three meals so you're getting used to it. Maybe change the timing of your meals. Definitely not, you know, chugging all the coffee and smoking all the cigarettes. You know, starting maybe intermittent fasting, introducing it into your day. Tons of evidence about how healthy that is for you anyway. And getting any checkups that you need, just to make sure you don't have any problems.
All of that and more over at livehealthy.ae.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.